Good evening, everyone. Thank you. I needed that. I don't know if anyone's noticed or not, but Cody's my hero. Can you tell? Every time we get together, you know, we're dressed just alike. I want to be just like Cody.
Don't say that.
I do invite your prayers throughout this because I do get nervous to stand before you because I feel that I stand before a perfect body and my own unworthiness doesn't measure up. So it's always my prayer that that what I put together is beneficial to you and is right in the sight of my Father in heaven. And again, I'll say that if I fail, it's my fault. If I succeed, it's His glory. I'd like to start out in James, first chapter tonight, starting at the 22nd verse. James 1, 22nd verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This is a very familiar scripture that we've heard over time, many times. And I can remember back using this in a sermon a long time ago. And I was young in my ministry, we'll say. So at the time, I thought I needed little trick things, so I handed out little mirrors to everyone. Right? And I can reflect back in that sermon and the use of that scripture then and the use of that scripture now is different. Because I think about it. For me, the scriptures have to be real. I know you say the scriptures are real. They're alive. But how do I apply them in my life? How do they be a part of my life? And I read that, and it's so true. How often do you, any of you, get up in the morning, and you look in the mirror, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, and you walk out the door, and you jump in the car, and what's the first thing you do? You look at yourself again because you forgot whether you did your hair, is it right? You know, right? Right? That's what he's saying. As man, as human, we don't give it thought. We don't. We can forget about whatever it is in an instant. If you can forget what you just looked at yourself and how you looked when you left the bathroom and walked straight to your car and you got to look in the mirror again. We're that weak. We have to be doers. We can't hear the word of God, whether it be from the pulpit or whether it be in prayer. When you hear the word of God, you can't put it aside. You can't let it be like that vision you saw in the mirror. You see it, you hear it, and 5 seconds later, it's left you. I may move a little fast here in the beginning. I apologize, but let's jump to James chapter 4. Let me back up. Sorry. Nerves. So, also when I think about this, and I think about myself, when I read this scripture, it's apparent that I'm not the only one, because this world has a problem with identity, with being able to identify who you are. I'm a child of God. I am a creature that God created. Right? But you know as well as I do, this world today has a problem with identity and identifying right and wrong. Too often, as people in the world, we look in that mirror and we go our way. And the next time we look in a mirror, we see something different. The world. Now let's go to James 4. Starting at the 7th verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Afflicted, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, we know God. And many people in the world today know of God. And many people today deny God. It's their choice. But what these verses talk about is knowing God and believing that because you know God, you're all right, you're safe, you can sin and it's okay. Or making judgment according to your will and your desire and your lust. Now, let's jump back to the first verse in chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Where is the biggest trouble in your life originate? Say that again. From your mind? From within yourself. That's my biggest struggle. That's my biggest enemy, is myself. Doubt, unsurety, anger because I don't like something. All those things that boil up inside me. I'll admit to you, I see things and sometimes I just want to go up. You know, I'm so angry. And I have to stop myself. Right? Are you that way? Is there something that you want? Something that you don't need? Is there someone you want to be? That's where the war within you comes from. Your own struggles. Your own trials. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You're wanting. How many people do you know that say, I've been praying about this, I've been praying about this, and the Lord hasn't answered me? He hasn't given me what I want. Every one of us has done it. We pray about something because we want it to happen. And yet, we're not willing to give the Lord his opportunity to give us what he wants us to have. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, there's a scripture in Romans that talks about the way God will just step back. Let us be who we are. That's what he's talking. That's what we're talking about here. When we're proud and unwilling to submit ourselves and humble ourselves or submit ourselves, God doesn't leave us. But he does let us go on our own so that we can fall down, so that we'll humble ourselves, so he can then work with us. First Peter chapter 2. Starting at the 11th verse. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I don't see anybody out here who has that problem. There's no one here that... No. I'm talking about the world outside these walls. Inside these walls, there's a light brighter than bright right now. Wall to wall. Perfect brightness. The world is what? The world is the problem. The world. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Everything you see in the world is nothing but fleshly lusts. I'm saying everything popular, everything our kids are faced with, everything that is promoted is about the mortal body feeling good. The mortal body being pleased. Things that we've always seen as improper are being told to us they're proper. I know it's happened for a millennium. It's happened forever. It goes on. It's the way man is. We have to face mankind for who mankind is. He's a weak vessel. That's why we come together to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God when we study, to keep ourselves straight and narrow on that path. Verse 12, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day a visitation. Boom. That light that I'm talking about that I see when I come in here and I have the opportunity to stand before you guys, when you leave here, that light shines. And there are people in this world that are going to call you evil because you believe in a God, because you believe in a creator, because you believe in something that they don't. You're evil. What they don't know is they're actually serving our evil adversary when they do that. But because of that light that shines within you, and they see that, and they take part in that, that's glory to God. Because his light's what shines in you, and when someone who is a non-believer sees that light and inquires, simple inquiry, that first seed that's planted, That's glory to God, because someone else is asking, is inquiring about God and his goodness. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We have to follow the laws of the land. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. We are to follow the laws of the land. It says right here. Right? I shouldn't speed. I do. I'll admit. I'll confess. I do. But guess what? I stop at every stop sign. Completely, guys. I don't think anybody else in Independence actually stops at a stop sign. We're to do that because God wants us to do that. Because as we do things that are told is the law, is the right thing to do, as we practice those things in our lives, that helps keep us from going astray. And it also keeps us from being punished. Right? That's not to say there's not laws out there that you disagree with, that you don't feel are right. There's laws on the books. There always have been laws on the books that someone in here doesn't agree with. Others may not think about it. But they're not laws that are detrimental to your life. Right? They're not something that if you were to partake in upkeeping that law, it would be detrimental to your soul right now. Right? That's not to say there's not people out there trying to make laws, create laws that may be detrimental to your soul one day. 'For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.' By well-doing. By being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, you can put to shame anyone who speaks out in a way that's just foolish, just simply not true, not a fact. I don't know of any of you, none of you have heard of anything in the news lately that is talking about something that is actually not factual, but they're telling us that we have to believe in it, right? By being a doer of God's will, we can put all that to shame by staying strong and submitting ourselves to God. As free and not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. We cannot wear that badge of Christianity and say, it's okay. It's okay, I'm a Christian, I can do that, and it's okay. I'm a Christian, and if I believe what you say just so that we don't have an argument, you know, it's okay. No, it's not. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures that says that that's okay. That's not God's will. If it goes contrary to God's will, it's not okay. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Respect the law of the land. Fear God. Why? Why would you fear God and respect the law of the land? Well, because God wants you to respect the law of the land. And God is your judge. God is your creator. God is. I am a child of God. Mosiah chapter 13. Let's go to page 295. starting at the 28th verse. What did I tell you? Mosiah 13, verse 28. And behold, now I say unto you, ye cannot dethrone an iniquitous king. Okay, we're talking about Mosiah here. He's about to end his reign. He knows that none of his sons will take over as king. He's gone to his people and he's explained to them, my sons don't want this, so I bid ye that you take a vote. My words, take a vote. Do you desire to have a king, and who is it? But then he's going on to explain about a king's reign. And behold, now I say unto you, ye cannot dethrone an iniquitous king, save it be through much contention and the shedding of much blood. He's reminding them about King Noah. He's reminding them that a king in power. Well, let me just read on. For behold, he hath his friends in iniquity, and he keepeth his guards about him. Oh yeah, a king can appoint whoever he wants. He can kick out whoever he wants. Just because Mosiah was a king and his father, Benjamin, was a king for the people, doesn't mean every king. And he teareth up the laws of those which have reigned in righteousness before him, and he trampleth under his feet the commandments of God. And he enacteth laws and sendeth them forth among his people, yea, laws after the manner of his own wickedness. And whosoever doth not obey his laws, he causeth to be destroyed. And whosoever doth rebel against him, he will send his armies against them to war. And if he can, he will destroy them. And thus an unrighteous king doth pervert the ways of all righteousness. When you have one person in power and you give them all power, all authority, this is what can happen. We've read of the good kings in the Book of Mormon, but when you put one person, you know what? I can remember in school, I learned about this country that they were trying to escape religious persecution, and there was a bunch of them got on ships and traveled blindly to a new continent. Yeah. And they put together some documents. Yeah. Yeah, our own country was organized and established to get away from the reign of a king who wanted to rule, who wanted to tell them who and how to worship. And they wanted that freedom. Is this country perfect? Has it been perfect from the beginning? No. We have a document that says all men are created equal, and the men who wrote it, most of them own slaves. Right? So don't think that being perfect is anything. I mean, no one's perfect, right? But this is what I think of when I read this, and I hear the words of Mosiah talking to people about this, and I think, you know, the colonists came here. They wanted to get away. They fought the British to keep that freedom. We live in a country that was established to have freedom, right? Liberty. Free to choose our own path. Free to choose to worship God. Unfortunately, there's those who choose not to worship God. Right? But we're still free to do that. There are those people in our country that desire to change that. and they want us to have a single rule again. They want us to bow down to them. I see right now where men of power have people who disagree with them, and they're sending their armies to war against them, trying to destroy them. You see that in the news today. It's reality. It's happening in your life, in your lifetime, I should say. Not directly in your life, but I think the way that our country is a part of your life. Each of us have to face that, whether we just see it on the news or we see it in public. Mosiah 13, verse 45. But I desire that this land be a land of liberty, and every man may enjoy his rights and privileges alike, so long as the Lord seeth fit. So long as the Lord seeth fit. Not one man, not one group, not somebody who desires to take you and control you. That's why they came here, right? They wanted free of the bondage that they were in, which is kind of crazy because they held men in bondage themselves. But again, we are not perfect, and that was corrected. We moved on from that. But the world today doesn't want to let us forget that. Yea, even as long as any of our posterity remaineth upon the face of this land. You know, we have a fighting chance, folks. There's a good number of us, a good number of people who believe in God, who pray, who have faith, who are ready to submit themselves to His will. Alma chapter 20, page 457. Verse 9. And now the design of the Nephites was to support their lands and their houses and their wives and their children, that they might preserve them from the hands of their enemies, and also that they might preserve their rights and their privileges, yea, and also their liberty, that they might worship God according to their desires. For they knew that if they should fall into the hands of the Lamanites, that whosoever should worship God in spirit and in truth, the true and the living God, the Lamanites would destroy. I see that. I see their people being in this time, maybe in my lifetime. I see that. Persecution. You know, Cody talked about Meshach. Shadrach, Meshach, and what'd you call him?
A banjo
today. That's a great example of that. They were told they couldn't worship their God, and they refused to deny their God. That's you and I. We have to refuse to deny our God. We have to refuse if someone tells us that we can't worship God the way we know we should worship God. Are you strong enough? Are you willing? A few years ago, I'd have probably cried out. I'd have probably fallen down on my knees and begged them to save my life. Bring it. Bring it. And that's probably not good on my part, but I won't deny a God who has held me up, who has blessed me through so much in my life that I'm able to stand here before you today and share his word. Are you ready to face that type of persecution? We see persecution in the world, maybe even in our nation. But I fear that sometime, maybe in my lifetime, that it'll be worse. It'll come after us, this body, whether it be in another country or in this country here. Alma chapter 21, page 469. Starting at the 38th verse. Yea, we see that Amalickiah, because he was a man of cunning devices. You all know this story. The Nephites had it good for a while after they beat back the Lamanites and they appointed judges and things were going well. But then there were those who were growing greedy and desired control. None of you have ever seen that in the world either, where somebody desires to be in charge. And they do things that aren't right to get that. Well, this is Amalickiah. And that's who we're reading about here. Yea, we see that Amalickiah, because he was a man of cunning devices and a man of many flattering words, that he led away the hearts of many people to do wickedly. Never seen that before, huh? Yea, and to seek to destroy the church of God and to destroy the foundation of liberty which God hath granted unto them, or which blessing God had sent upon the face of the land for the righteous sake. And now it came to pass that when Moroni, which was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah. Once again, reality. I see things and I get angry. I get upset when I see somebody drive through a stop sign. You know, I pull up to stop and they're coming up to stop after me, but they don't even stop. They just drive through. It just angers me that you can't keep the simplest law. You know? That's on me, though. That's a sin I have to work on. Right? And now it came to pass... 41. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof, and wrote upon it, in memory of our God, our religion and freedom, and our peace, our wives and our children. And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof. And he fastened on his headplate and his breastplate and his shields, and girded on his armor about his loins. And he took the pole which he had on the end thereof, his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. You know, I love this. Camp was all about the armor of God, and I did a sermonette, and I used this. Because this is my armor. This is my armor, the Word of God. Right? We should all be putting on that armor every day and going out. And people will see in us that title of liberty. I told the kids, I told them that by the end of the week, they should all have their armor on, girded on them, right? They should all be ready to go back out in the world. And their friends are going to ask them, wow, you're so bright and shiny and strong. Why? They're going to see your title of liberty. They're going to see that you have freedom. Why? Why do you have freedom? And you can tell them because of your Savior. Because of the Word of God. For thus were all the true believers of Christ, which belong to the church of God, called by those who did not belong to the church. Wow. That was a terrible name to give them. I don't believe in God, so I'm going to call you a Christian. Right? If things that people were called today were... That was an awesome name to be given, even by those who didn't believe in you. And those who did belong to the church were faithful. Yea, all those who were true believers in Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called, because of their belief in Christ, which should come. Therefore, at this time, Moroni prayed that the cause of the Christians and the freedom of the land might be favored. And it came to pass that when he had poured out his soul to God, he gave all the land which was south of the land desolation, yea, and in fine all the land both on the north and south, a chosen land and the land of liberty. And he saith, surely God shall not suffer that we who are despised because we take upon us the name of Christ shall be trodden down and destroyed, until we bring it upon us by our own transgressions. And when Moroni had said these words, he went forth among the people, waving the rent of his garment in the air, that all might see the writing which he had written upon the rent, and crying with a loud voice, saying, behold, whosoever will maintain this title upon the land, let them come forth in the strength of the Lord and enter into a covenant that they will maintain their rights and their religion, that the Lord God may bless them. And it came to pass that when Moroni had proclaimed these words, behold, the people came running together with their armor girded about their loins, rending their garments in token or as a covenant that they would not forsake the Lord their God. Or in other words, if they should transgress the commandments of God or fall into transgressions and be ashamed to take upon them the name of Christ, the Lord should rend them even as they had rent their garments. They band together as Christians, as we would. If an enemy came through that door right now, 8 to 80, they'd be put down, wouldn't they? We come together in thick and thin. I have a problem. I have a medical issue. What happened? You came together. I still have the issue, but I personally don't have issue with it. Because of your prayers, because of the blessings of God. Every one of you has experienced something like that. There's nothing in this world that if it comes at us as a body, whether it's an individual in the body or the entire body, that we won't come together, stand up against it, according to the will of God. Second Nephi, chapter 1, page 86. Starting at the 115th verse. Another one of those well-known scriptures. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they may have joy. Adam fell, how are we going to have joy? Well, again, this is something that I've read year in, year out, seen it, but it means something. It means something deep to me. It gives me understanding that Adam and Eve lived a perfect life. If Adam had not have submitted to that dang wife of his and eaten that apple, no, if he'd have only followed that one commandment that God gave him to not partake of the fruit of that one tree, no one would have knowledge of joy. You wouldn't know good and evil, right? Everything was just good and perfect in the garden, and there's purpose. There was purpose in that, right? Without one or the other, you have to have both. You have to have good and evil to understand what good is. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And he did. He came and he took the law of Moses away from us, and he gave us a way to be saved forever with eternal life. But for those who don't believe in him, he also came to save them for eternal damnation. Yeah? Right? You can agree with me or not, but everyone will have their day of judgment. You will either have eternal life and salvation or eternal damnation. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. God has provided every living creature on this earth with the sustenance to keep their mortal life going, right? In other words, there's food for everyone. There's water. Whether you're good or evil, there are those things here. It's provided for all man, right? But only the Lord will judge you in the day that he comes. For he seeketh, wait a minute, let me back up. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. You know, these people that walk this earth, that are out there telling us that we have to believe what they say, even though it's obvious it's not true. They're telling us that we have to believe them, that we have to respect them, that they want laws made so that we have to respect what they say, even though it's factually and impossible for that to be. In their misery, instead of finding help, finding a way to remove the misery from their life, They are fighting to bring us down in misery to be like them. I hope I said that right. I'm trying to be nice. He said, "Loose my tongue." That was a mistake because it would not be good. You see these, obviously, national news. You see these things happening. And they're telling you. They're telling you something, again, that's factually not true. But they're going to fight this because they think that's the right thing to do. And if they fight this and they get their way, again, it's their misery instead of getting the help, getting the direction they need to relieve themselves of that situation and find God and see the truth and understand that what they say is not even close to reality. I have to confess, truth and reality is awesome. Once I got there, everything that is trouble in my life, it goes away so fast because I deal with it with truth and honesty. Where when I was running from truth and honesty, when I was running from reality, that's it. I was running, looking over my shoulder. I didn't know what was next. And oh my gosh, that's terrible. And truth and reality is awesome. It's wonderful. You hear the old adage, rip the Band-Aid off, it hurts less. That's truth and reality. You know, if you escape it, if you lie to get out of something, it just makes it worse. The devil wants you, and he's got a big army right now trying to pull you in. Last couple of short readings. I guess I'm really supposed to be doing this tonight, because every time I pick up my scriptures, I just flip the clump of, and there it is. Isaiah 61. The other thing, too, almost every one of these scriptures that it was already underlined with notes on it. And I haven't ever used these scriptures together before. Chapter 61, the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I don't read that because I'm up here preaching to you. I read that to you because that's all of us. That's all of our responsibilities. When you leave here, you have a responsibility. That when you have the opportunity, when someone has a broken heart, someone's in trouble, that you shine that light. You shine that light. You don't tell them how they can fix their life. You do what you know God wants. You're a doer, not a hearer. That light that you carry with you is this exactly right here, the Spirit of the Lord God. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Kind of confusing. But when you shine that light on somebody who's downtrodden, who's destitute, who's hungry for something and they don't know what they're hungry for, and you shine that light on them, and they can see for the first time. They see that the truth is right. They see that the truth is real. And because of that, they can see that God has vengeance upon evil. He will deal with that. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isn't that what this is about? When you can spread the good news of our Savior, that just glorifies our Heavenly Father. The light gets brighter. More of these seats are filled. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. You are called to preach the good word. And that's by being a doer and not just a hearer. Verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. God has dressed us to go out and be doers in this world. There are people in the world right now that are fighting, physically fighting with these groups that are attacking religion and reality. That's not what we need to do. And this part is for me, because I'm ready to go. You know, I mean, I get angry when I see these things. I get all riled up. I'm supposed to be keeping my blood pressure down, but I get riled up. I want to go out there. I want to do something. I want to be that guy that... No. God has chosen people to go to battle. Go out and physically battle. We're called to be the spiritual warriors. We're out there to preach to those who are ready. The day of the Lord. I see that as that day that I first heard the Lord's name. And I went in my closet. And I prayed for the very first time. I was downtrodden. I was in a bad way, in a bad spot. But I heard God's name. And I went in private and I prayed for the first time. That's your job. God needs to be on your lips at every chance. I just think that we just need to be doers so that the world sees God is still in this world. Thank you.